Hallelujah. I'm hoping that I will be able to finish this message today, but it doesn't seem like it. So, and I don't want to take time. We will go as far as we can and continue next week by the grace of God. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, you can open with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 100. That's where I'm going to be teaching from this morning. Psalm number 100. If you're there, say amen. If you are looking for it, say wait for me. If you don't have a Bible, say help me. Psalm 100. I'm going to read from verse 1 to the end. It's a very short scripture. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Father, please breathe on your word. Let it minister life to us. In Jesus' name, amen. This message is not coming because it's Thanksgiving Sunday. No. I started praying this morning and I was like, so Lord, I want to thank you. This Thanksgiving, I'm like, it sounded somehow to me. So I'm thanking him because it's Thanksgiving Sunday? Oh no, I dare not. My Thanksgiving goes beyond a particular day. It's an everyday thing. Actually, it's a moment by moment thing. It's a spur of the moment thing. Because I can't stop thinking of how good God has been to me. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. You see, our level of relationship with God and what God has done in our lives can differ one person from the other. Hallelujah. But it's the same God. Amen. The one to whom God has done the most, I bet, is going to be the one who is the most grateful. Amen? And I feel here in this church, I'm the one that God has done the most for. So, I can't stop praising him. It's not because the music is playing. I make the melody in my spirit myself. I call him names on a daily basis, moment by moment. So like I said, I woke up this morning and I heard it in my spirit, man. Gratitude is now. Some of you will wait until it's crossover night before you are grateful. Hallelujah. Why do you have to wait till you enter 2017 before you begin to celebrate? Celebration of God is a daily thing. Hallelujah. Amen. All of us, we have something we have so much to be grateful for. So much. Just because you live in America alone, you have so much to be grateful for. Compared to where we all came from, or most of us came from. Compared to where some people are today, I've not even started talking about the life you have to breathe in and breathe out. Just by your location is enough to thank God. It's enough. Some of us don't see the great value of all that God has given us. You see, we concentrate on what we don't have. And then instead of appreciation, we begin to murmur. If you are not where you are, and you have right sense, how can you even desire? A mad person, what is his desire? What's the desire of a madman? What's the desire of a mad woman? What's the desire of those who are in the asylum? They have no desire because they've lost their mind. It's because you have a sound mind. That's why you are desirous of something. Having sound mind alone is enough to give God praise. Hallelujah. Amen. So what we don't have has turned a lot of people into ingrates. And like I wrote in the bulletin, in fact, I can't even see the bulletin right now. And I said on Thursday night, if you are not grateful, you can't praise God. That's why songs of praise will be going on in church. And some of us will sit down like ice block. Because there's no gratitude in our heart. We come to church, we now become psychedelic because of what we are wearing, because of the way we look. So I don't want to mess up the way I look. So instead of me to show emotion, then I will be like a palm tree. Because how you look seems to be more important. And some of us, we are so full of pride. How can they see somebody like me jumping up and lifting up my hands like a crazy fellow? I went to minister at a church in the United Kingdom a few years back. And during praise and worship, without telling anybody, I caused commotion. I was a guest speaker. I just carried the chair. I started running around. And before you know it, people joined me. You understand what I'm trying to say? I still remember one guy. We call him MOG. He was like, he has never seen anything like that before in his life. God is not looking for normal. Hello? God is looking for abnormal. You know, I've told you before here that I'm not normal. Okay. It's not how you think it. I don't like to do anything normal. Amen? Amen. A man said, by name Francis Schaeffer, he said, the beginning of rebellion against God is the lack of a thankful heart. The beginning of rebellion against God stems from ungratefulness. Some of us might not say it out, but we say it inside. As if we are saying to God, what have you done for me? That you can stand is what he has done for you. That you can sit is what he has done for you. That you can hear me is what he has done for you. That you can see me is what he has done for you. That you can feel angry by what I'm saying is what he has done for you. Is it not time to stop acting as if we own ourselves? Huh? Did you see what we read there? He says he made us. Not we ourselves. He made us. When was the last time you just lay prostrate before the one who made you and nobody was there? And you are just saying, thank you. You don't even have a reason. Because that's another way, another place where most of us are. We need a reason. I remember when it was yesterday or the day before. I just said, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And my wife said, what happened? I said, nothing happened. Nothing happened. She's sitting down. I said, nothing happened. And that's my act most of the time. Spontaneous. I wish I can stop my car on the highway and get down and just dance around the car, enter into it again and go home. Because God is good. Because God is good. You are not the source of your strength. You are not the one who gave yourself the ability you have. You are not the source of your own prosperity. You are not the source of your own happiness. You are not the source of your own joy. Even anything you enjoy today, it's not all by your effort. You can use your effort. If the grace of God is removed, your effort becomes nothing. Oh, I work hard. You think you are the only one who works hard? Huh? I don't know if I've shared this with us before. One of my workers back in UK, this was a PhD older guy, very young guy, had a PhD, was doing all kinds of research. So one day he came and said, Pastor, I fasted and fasted and this happened. Bro, it's not your fast that made it happen. You are not the only one fasting. Amen. Let me tell you something. Some of you fast because you need something from God. Hello? Oh, when I fast, I will get it. Do you know that there is no scripture for it? Huh? Jesus only said, this kind goeth not out except by prayer and fasting. The only reason we fast is to get closer to God. It's not because we want to get something. Praise the Lord. Huh? It's not, oh. And some of the fasting many of us do is hunger strike. It's true. It's hunger strike. You are fasting, you are not worshiping. You are fasting, you are not studying. You are fasting, you are not praying. Fasting is to kill the flesh, suppress the flesh, that God can be glorified. Hallelujah. So, don't forget the grace of God. Tell your neighbor. Say, don't forget the grace of God. Do you know, church, one day, grace is going to expire. Did you hear me? One day, grace will expire. There will be no more grace. Huh? There will be no more grace. And then we'll see what will happen. The Bible says that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Guess what? It says time and chance happened to them all. They were at the right place at the right time. They had opportunities. Opportunities were open to them. God made it happen for them. Hallelujah. David in Psalm 100 is showing us how we can appreciate God. It's a step-by-step thing. How we can show gratitude to God. And that's what I want to do this morning. But I can't finish it all, because we have a whole lot of things to do. So let us look at some practical applications from these short but loaded scriptures. Number one, our God is worthy to be praised. Our God is worthy to be praised. He started by saying, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Whether you are Egyptian, Algerian, Lebanese, South African, Sierra Leonean, Senegalese, Nigerian, Nigerian, American, South American, Black American, White American. Only in America you have different colors. You never see a white Nigerian and a black Nigerian. Only in America that you are either a black American, white American, Asian American. Now, even Nigerians now, they turn into Nigerian American. They are not African. Oh, Lord. My God. God have mercy. Amen. Make a joyful noise. One of the ways to show gratitude is joy. Exuberance of joy. And God is the source of joy. Do you know that our children, they are not the source of joy? Some people think that, oh, when I have children, I'll be joyful. I say amen. But one day you wish that you didn't have them. For at least 30 seconds. Huh? That these children, you want to kill me. Because when you start having them, you know you don't own your life anymore. There's nothing personal about you anymore. They don't knock on your door before they come in. They just open and enter. They just say whatever they want. And while you are saying your own, they keep on saying theirs until you listen. Our worship should be with proclamation of joy and celebration. Any worship that has no celebration in it is not a worship. How many Efik people are here? You are from Calabar. Only one. You know, this morning, I just remembered a song, but I'm not sure if I remembered it totally well. I'm a fan can can moro, a can bangade, Eddie can time my Jesus. I'm a yemen. You know what I'm saying? What did I say? High five. I just wanted to test it. I'm not better. And when I'm able to think of that alone, that should elicit what? Joy. Where's our drummer? Caleb, you should be smarter and faster than that. Are you ready? I'm in Fenken can moro, e can pangade, Eddie can time Jesus. I'm in Yemen and Wem. I'm in Fenken can moro, e can pangade, Eddie can time Jesus. I'm in Yemen and Wem. I'm in Fenken can moro, e can pangade, Eddie can time Jesus. I'm in Yemen. You know the meaning already. Listen, if you grow up in Lagos, you used to see the masquerade of the Efik masquerade, Calabar masquerade. You see the way they dance, Sit down. Stay there. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. David said in Psalm 16, verse 11, he said, you reveal the path of life to me. Many are still in darkness, brethren. Some people will go to hell today. There's somebody who has millions and millions of dollars. This very moment, they are sad. They are contemplating suicide. This very moment. You have shown me the path of life. In your presence is abundant of joy. And in your right hand are eternal pleasures. If you want to be grateful, David said, make a noise. It has to be audible. It has to be public. The only thing in fashion in heaven is worship. The only thing in fashion in heaven is praise and appreciation. That's the only thing in fashion. Nothing else. All the nonsensities we pursue here. God have mercy. God have mercy. Hallelujah. Somebody make a joyful noise. You know, if you are joyful, there is an emotion that is connected to joy. Huh? There is an emotion. I was in North Carolina when our daughter came in with our grandchild. I wasn't there. Oh, I had planned to be there. To the extent that when I knew when she was going to arrive, I was going to cancel my trip. You know, I want to be at the airport to receive our first grandchild and dance and demonstrate at the airport. But you need to see me and my children when they meet me at the airport when I'm just arriving back. Everybody stops and look at us. Who cares? You know? But when I got home that night, I called ahead that Olivia should meet me at the door as if she can walk by herself. You know? But as soon as I carried her, just dancing, just giving God praise, I'm seeing another generation. You understand me? The mother now began to record. And she's posting. I said, post it. I'm not somebody that likes posting and posting. Amen? But what am I trying to say is, there's an emotion. An emotion that you cannot contain by yourself. And when God is being glorified, it should be an emotion that you cannot contain. One day I was so angry. I was watching this man of God. I love his ministry. Phil Driscoll. Blowing the trumpet and worshiping. And the people sitting down, most of them were on their feet, raising up their hands and weeping, worshiping God. Guess what? Those who called themselves big men of God on the stage, they just sat down and they were looking. I said, look at all these foolish people. Look at. So they think they are better than the people standing and raising up their hands and worshiping the Almighty God. Let me tell you something. There is no man of God that can put himself or herself at the level of the Almighty. When God calls you wrong, doesn't matter who you are. That's why I love my father in the Lord. God told him, draw a man in the sand. You know? He drew it. Wipe it away with your left feet. He did. And God said, the day you show pride, that's how I'm going to wipe you out. And nobody will even remember you existed. I can't talk enough of that man. Compare the emotion of people who will go and watch the Chiefs lose. I mean, play. Huh? Do you know that the Chiefs Stadium is the loudest stadium in the United States? Oh, yes, they do competition for that. The loudest stadium. The Chiefs Stadium is the loudest. I remember the first day I took my little youngest son to Kansas City Stadium to go and watch soccer game. When he saw crowd and heard noise, he said, Daddy, let's go home. I said, no, we're staying. Until he began to enjoy it. People go crazy for nothing. I love soccer, but I don't jubilate anymore, even when my team wins. Like we won yesterday. Man City fans, sorry. I don't even jubilate anymore. Because I'm like, it's just a leather ball that went into the net. And my team is winning. Number one, they're not going to give me part of the money. Rather, they're asking me to give them money. In fact, yesterday I sat down, I'm like, this TV, do we even really need to be watching TV? All the money we spend to watch programs. Huh? How many times do we sit down to watch these programs? God have mercy. Amen. So you see some people in church. No enthusiasm. No matter the power of the song. We think, oh, praise and worship is just part of church program. No, it's not a program. It's what we are born to do. Hallelujah. In God's presence, you must show enthusiasm. You must. Let's look at verse 2. Are you guys in some?
Yes, sir.
Only 4 people. Okay. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So, the psalmist is saying, God is worthy to be served. Gratitude does what? Serves God. Serve the Lord. How? Come on, how? He says, with what? With gladness of heart. So if you are not serving, you should be sad. Service to the Lord can mean 3 things. I'm not limiting them to it. Number 1, humility. You can't truly serve God if you are not humble. Hello? Show me a servant. I show you somebody who is humble. You can't serve God without a humble spirit. If you are filled with pride, any service you give to God is not acceptable. Because the Bible says that God resists the proud. You have to count it all joy that you are even called to serve. Think about yourself as a plate, a bowl in your kitchen cabinet. Is it not the one you like the most that you use? Hello? Come on, somebody. Huh? Is it the one you like the most that you use? I'm a connoisseur of plates. I love mugs and I love plates. I just buy them. Because at home, I like to eat as if I'm in a restaurant. You understand what I'm trying to say? I don't like my plates to be broken on the side. I don't like to use plastic. I'm a child of God. Amen. From when I was a little boy, I had my own plate. It's like a boat. One day, our house help, I don't know what was pursuing her. I sat at the door, and she put her feet on my plate with my rice. The plate, the rice, everything broke. In fact, that day, I became a wild boy. Amen. When I see a nice mug, I like to buy it. Just to keep it. Just to use it. What you love the most is what you use the most. That's the way it is in our service with God. The ones who honor God the most is the one whom God uses the most. Humility. Number two, fidelity. Fiducia. Service means faithfulness. Because if service is not a faithful one, then it's going to be betrayal. It's going to be eye service. And God does not like eye service. Some people worship God only with their mouth. Their heart is not connected at all. You see me? From time to time, to my wife, I do two things. She might be in the kitchen, I'm in the bedroom. I'll just call her, like emergency call. Come. I need to say something to you now. We need to talk. And she will rush. And just come. Say, well, actually, what I wanted to tell you is that you are the love of my life. I just love you very much. You were like, oh my God. And that's the end of it, right there. And another time, she might be sleeping. I'll just wake her up. I'm like, are you really sure you love me? From your heart. Very, very much. Because I want to be sure that everything she's doing is not eye service. Why do I do that? Because I'm not God. God sees the heart. He doesn't have to ask you. But Jesus asked Peter, lovest thou me? He said, but you know. Really? Are you really sure you love me? Three times. Most of the time, God doesn't ask anybody anymore. But he knows. He knows. He'll be looking at you. Look at this one saying, worshiping me. The mind is in the call he wants to make after service. That lady's mind, that one, is on her boyfriend. Even though she's married. You know God knows every secret. Should I continue? Number three. It means serving the Lord with gladness is activity. If you say you are serving God, you know, like we say we are going for service every Sunday, right? We are going for, come on, respond. We are going for service. What do you mean? What does service mean? Service means to go and serve, right? Service means to do something for somebody. So when you come to church saying, I'm going for service, are you coming to do something for God? Or are you coming to get something from God? Your activity, is it geared towards God? Let me go a little bit further. Why are you being active in church? Is it because of what you can get? What's your motivation for serving? Or just because he's God? Hallelujah. The service of God, look, it's not confined to Sundays. No, it's not. And it's not confined to those who are, whom we have termed full-time ministers. Every blood-bought child of God is a minister. Every blood-bought child of God should be serving God in one capacity or the other. The man who is the vice president of Nigeria today is a pastor in the Redeemed Christian Church of God. And during the convention, he's an usher. Until he became a vice president and he wanted to still do ushering before they say, sir, we know your heart. Sit down. Before he became a vice president, he was a multi-millionaire, not in naira, in dollars. That's why it's still a surprise for me that everybody here is not a worker. That everybody in the church is not a worker. Tell your neighbor. Say, sir, ma, you are supposed to be a worker. God is more interested in who you are in him than what you do for him. Amen? But then, you can't belong to him and not do for him. What God has blessed people with has become the reason why they are not serving God. God will understand. Is this child, you know, we just bought a new house and it's far away. So before we wake up and come to church, is the house, because of the distance of the house. So, God forbid that the blessing becomes a curse. Hallelujah. Yeah. I said, God forbid that the blessing becomes a curse. Yeah. You can't hate me more than you already do. So I'm going to preach and finish my preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at what the Lord said. I want somebody to read for me. I'm going to close very soon. Maybe another close very soon. Deuteronomy 28, 47 to 48. Somebody read for me. Somebody with a nice, good voice. Newscasting voice. Where's the microphone? Who's going to read?
I don't have a new voice.
Deuteronomy 28, 48 to 47. Please follow us. 47 to 48.
Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness.
Because you do not serve the Lord your God with what?
Joyfulness.
And with gladness of heart. And with gladness of heart.
For the abundance of all things.
For the abundance of all the things that God has done for you. Read on.
Therefore. Shall thou serve thine enemies.
Somebody say God forbid.
God forbid.
This scripture already tells you that there is no vacuum in life. If you are not serving God, you are serving the devil. You can say, but I don't bow down to the devil. I don't do anything with the devil. No, if you are not serving God with joy, with gladness of heart, you are serving the devil. Not only the devil, he say you, because he's the biggest of your enemy, as it were, and yourself. He says you will serve, God forbid, your enemies. Go on.
Which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness.
God have
and
mercy.
And in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck.
God have mercy.
Until he have destroyed thee.
God have mercy. All those who refuse to serve God in the wilderness, what do you think God did to them? He killed them. They went to hell. Thank you. Sit down. So, I want to beg you this afternoon or this morning, please don't be among those who claim to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, but your life is void of gratitude. Each and every one of us must get to a mature place where we are not focusing on what we can get from our serving Him. Some people do it for earthly things, some for position. Have you seen ministers fighting for position? Huh? Oh, Benny Hinn is in town. They start fighting who is going to sit on the stage. And by the end of that service, they didn't get anything. They sit beside their friends, and all the while the anointing is moving, they are talking. That's why when I go for a major program, I don't sit in the obvious place. I sit at the very back, far away, mostly near the speaker. I can hear very well. I don't want to sit near anybody who can disturb me. Because if I spend my money to fly there and I book hotel, I have to get the value of that money. So if your treasure is on earthly things, turn to your neighbor. Say neighbor. Say neighbor. Look at them eyeball to eyeball. If your treasure is on earthly things, you really have a deep spiritual need. Because only God can fill that void. Many pursue it, but they never meet it. And those who have had it, they want more. They keep on pursuing it until the day they are no longer breathing. And guess what? Only the living can praise Him. How about that? Huh? Only the living can do what? Can praise Him. That's what the Bible says. Amen? Bible makes it so clear. Isaiah 38, 18 to 19, it says, for the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Is somebody getting blessed? Is somebody getting angry? You know, anything that sets your heart apart from God will keep on driving a wedge between you and God. That thing will separate you totally from God. And in service, there are some people in church who, do you know that every time God hears your thought, what you're thinking. Huh? Some are like, I've already done enough. I've done enough for God in this church. When they say this, I'm the one. When they say this, I'm the one. When they say this, I've come out. I've done enough in this church. And enough is enough. I have news for you. There's nothing you can do that will pay for the debt you owe God. Nothing. Just like each and every one of us, think about your mother. What can you do to pay her back? Just your mother. The room you rented for 9 months. Free food. Free board. And you come out. You have not finished paying for that board and room. Huh? Because your mother will tell you, come. Because my mother, oh Lord, God bless her. She will call me. I am your mother. These breasts fed you. As if I forgot. At my age. Oh Lord, have mercy. Those are the things that fathers can't do. You understand what I'm trying to say? Oh God. God have mercy. Hallelujah. So stop thinking that God holds you something. God holds you nothing. Tell your neighbor, God holds you nothing. You hold him everything. Don't be blind to the blessings of God in your life. Don't be blind. See it, notice it. Let it fill your heart with gratitude. How much thank you do you think you can tell God that will suffice for the blood of Jesus that was shed? That God sent his only begotten son to come and die for you and I on the cross of Calvary. How much thank you? How much dollar? How much of your service, your hours, you think will be enough? None of it can be enough. God have mercy. You see, in closing, if we look well, if you search well, you will know you are underserving God. Every day, you are underserving him. You are not doing enough. Oh, but I don't have enough time. You have enough time for what? We always have enough time for enjoyment. We always have enough time for mundane things. Huh? Men who will labor and earn hard earned salary, but we have enough time to go and spend some of that money on girlfriend, a woman undeserving. Huh? Have I told you those kind of men, what I call them? They are men that you leave your meal at home and you now go into the dustbin or trash can and you start feeding from there. And then you get home. Your wife says, ah, Baba Jumbo. Rent. God, sit down, woman. You just give me trouble all the time. No, she's not the one giving you trouble. You are the one troubling yourself. Because you have gone to the trash. And all the money you spend in the trash. Somebody say, God have mercy.
God have mercy.
Some of us were asked, shout hallelujah. And it's as if we are being disturbed. Pastor say, somebody shout hallelujah. You can't even shout hallelujah. Because you feel somebody is giving you grief. Only the living can shout hallelujah. Let's rise up on our feet.